Yes, yeah, I got a request being recorded. Okay.
Did you get a permission?
I did not. Does it say you're recording?
Yes.
Okay, because I had already previously given you. So that's
Apparently. Okay,
global.
so let's get started. Hey guys, Snell and Sherwood here again, and well, we've got some stuff to tell you this week. We've got a lot of things going on. You need to listen to the whole recording, by the way. Don't go away,
The
because at
whole
the
thing.
end, I'm going to tell you a layman's view of quantum computing. Woo! Okay, so Mr. Snell, you were at a speaking engagement this week, were you not?
Yes, yeah, I was in
Well, tell us
Oklahoma
about it. Who was
City.
there and what your observations were? Lay it
Sure.
all on us, buddy.
Yeah, I was actually yesterday morning in Oklahoma City at a law enforcement conference with regional law enforcement police chiefs and technology people from Stillwater, Oklahoma City, Broken Arrow. Well, they'll cross the whole state of Oklahoma. And I was there. I talked on my topic of the Winsome Way, but I tied it to public service and public safety because I have a background. I was in sales of public safety software and technology for 7 years. So I was able to uniquely match the public safety world scenario of what they face every day and tie it to how to be a winsome approach to that. And then we also talked a lot about technology.
And basically, these people were what? They were police chiefs. They had computers in their cars and things of that nature, right?
Yes, yeah, we had police department officials, and from their at their headquarters, they have dispatching when someone calls in, like to 911. They have records where they keep track of criminal records and files. And then, as you said, in the vehicles, they have laptops. Most every police department these days now, and it was funny because they really fought them for many years. They didn't want to have technology in the cars, but now it's commonplace. But laptops that are able to access information, send information, and share information.
How do they how are they on the internet all the time with their laptop? No matter where their car goes, they're internet accessible.
Yeah, for the most part. Now, when you get into some rural areas of the country, because that access is still based on, if they don't have some kind of a satellite feature, which is rare, it's still based on cellular connection to the internet. But for the most part, they are always connected.
So they have laptops in their car that are connected. That allows them, hopefully, to talk to other law enforcement officers in case they get a perp that is wanted in another area. Where do they get these laptops from? Who sells them to the police departments?
Yeah, there are a number. There are probably two or three major organizations that sell laptops. One of the biggest ones is actually a company that's based in Taiwan. They're probably the leader and
What?
the Cadillac.
Based in Taiwan?
Yes, a Chinese.
How did they get into the police departments? How'd they do
Well,
that?
it's interesting. This is, and it's a well-respected company. They've actually been working with our Department of Defense and in military, and they do a lot of different areas, even in industry and manufacturing. But they really have their division that works with the law enforcement is really considered the
Well,
cream of
I'll
the
tell you, I'm
crop.
blown away by this. Here we have all these issues with Taiwan. Now you're telling me that if I get stopped by a police officer, they're using a computer built in Taiwan, apparently, connected to somebody with somebody Taiwanese that could get access my information.
Well, actually, I'm sure via the chips in the laptop they could, but the software, this laptop is similar to a laptop you and I could buy, only it's more rugged. They call them ruggedized in that because you're in a car and you may be bouncing and you have a lot of rough times when you're driving in a car, and so
Yeah.
they're very built to last. And the software they run predominantly is probably software that is more than likely US-based for keeping records or keeping track or communication with the dispatch. But you're right, just like a cell phone has a technology that's made in China, these laptops manufactured in Taiwan.
What percent of the market do you think the Taiwanese company has?
Well, they're considered the leader. I would say, and I don't know exactly, and this is just a guess, but based on my background in that 7+ years being involved, it was a household name. I would say 60%. It's a classic in that law enforcement, they trust each other. It's the old adage, who's like me, does what I do, and uses your same equipment, software, etc.
Jesus Christ, this blows my mind. Just blows my mind. I don't, I mean, I understand how you can secure data, but here I'm hearing a Taiwanese company has worked its way into our police departments, and I understand the Department of Defense because I understand they've been buying rugged laptops for the military for years. I didn't know they were buying them from a Taiwanese company.
Yeah, and to the security aspect of it, like corporate America and security, and you've been involved, your background as expert witness, you've done a lot of things as to security and data and information, and you're the expert in that. But just like we have in most businesses, there are a couple three levels of security. The one that the FBI kind of oversees is called is CJIS. Criminal Justice Information Services. You have to be certified as a software provider with this federal group. And then the federal government actually takes it a level higher, the Department of Defense. It's called FedRAMP, and it's higher. And it's quite frankly, it's rare. A lot of companies, software companies that are in the law enforcement don't have that, but FedRAMP. And then, like manufacturing companies, which you also have a master's in engineering, is there are ISO compliance, and you have to have
Right.
ISO compliance. So they meet a lot of different requirements. But then the question is, what about the data? Of course, Jimmy Jones, Sally Smith commit a crime. How much, if access to their crime would be out there, it would be certainly a grounds for lawsuit.
Well, I know for years you could get a ticket in Kansas, go over to Colorado, get a ticket, and they would not know that you got a ticket in Kansas. I know you could kill somebody in Florida and get picked up for a felony in New York, and they wouldn't know you're wanted for a murder in Florida. I know those things have been worked on. I know they're probably getting better and better and easier to monitor, but I still understand that there's, because of the formatting differences and different software, there's still really a lack of what I call easy communication between states, between boundaries of states, and between departments within states. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's getting better, but yes, I know a couple of companies that I worked with as far as records. That was such an important thing, and that was a real benefit and advantage because if your software could do that, there is a national database that's headed up by the FBI. It's called NIBRS, the National
Yeah.
Incident-Based Reporting System, and NIBRS. So if you were wanted in California and you got stopped in Kansas, they can go when they run your driver's license, they can see immediately, hey, he has a warrant in California. So it's
Yeah.
getting better at that, but it's still not where it should be.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad to see it's getting
Especially
better.
this immigration, in this world with immigration information, there should, be more access to, information regarding people that are new to the country.
Now let's move on for a second. We know we've got the election coming up, and I think we made some forecasts last week. How many days left we have?
Yeah, we got 6 days left here. It's Winsome Wednesday, and next Tuesday is when people go. But the thing is, will we know the outcome? I happen to think we will. I think it's going to be a surprising even in that first round of Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, I think one of the two candidates, and frankly, I just think because of the large voter turnout, we've got 51 million Americans have already voted today. 51 million have already voted. That's almost a third of what voted in the entirety last time. So if the voter turnout is high, that usually favors the Democratic
Yeah,
ticket.
so you think Kamala Harris is going to be our next president?
I believe that she's going to be. I
Yeah, I
could be
agree with
wrong.
you. I agree with you. I've been very consistent on this for the last 6 months that I believe there's 85 million Democrats that vote Democratic. They don't watch MSNBC. They don't watch a CNN. They don't watch Fox News. I mean, if you add up all the people that watch all those three channels, this is more than 8 or 9 million people. So there's
That's right.
another 130 million people that's voting, or 140 million, that don't watch either one of them. I mean,
Yeah.
Fox News always says they crushes MSNBC, but so what? 5 million people watch Fox, 3 million watch MSNBC. So what? 150 million people don't watch anything. Anyway,
Yes.
so I believe that Kamala Harris will be elected too. Now, and again, it's because, in my opinion, well, as I said, I played golf with a guy last week who was from LA, and I asked him, about his party affiliation. He says, "I'm Democratic." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, my dad was Democratic, my grandfather's Democratic, and I always vote Democratic." And I find many people that I know that are Democrats, that's exactly their line of thinking. I'm not criticizing them for it, but I'm just saying fundamentally, that's factually what they tell me how they vote. Now, I landed in Arizona, of course, yesterday, and the first thing I asked my Uber driver was, "Who's going to win?" And right away they said, "Kamala." And I said, "What about Trump?" And they said, "You think Trump even has a chance?"
And this
Okay,
is in
so
Arizona, which is
I'm in
supposed to be
Arizona,
a
right?
state. Yeah.
Well, Arizona has talks Trump but votes Democratic.
Yeah, I think
Now,
that's a term, I wrote the book, The Winsome Candidate, after I wrote The Winsome Way. And you have been saying for months, this is breaking news here on your Sherwood Snell program, because I've not said anywhere on any radio station. I do, in fact, tomorrow I'm going to do 9 or 10 radio interviews on Fox News affiliate radio stations, but I've never said who I think is going to win. However, you've been talking about, for the reasons of pure numbers, this for months. Another thing, and you were talking about the media there. Another thing you talked about, I had to look it up after you told me this a few months ago. And of course, I borrowed it. Thank you, Bob. Borrowed it for radio interviews, is confirmation bias.
Oh,
People,
yeah.
yeah, confirmation bias. People will listen to radio or social media or whatever that favors their line of thinking.
Sure.
And they think that everything that they hear on the left or the right is absolutely
Yeah.
true.
And it has to do with the way your brain is configured, and synapses get fixed in a certain way, and it takes a lot to get them changed. But while we're on Arizona, I want to bring up another thing, just something I mentioned before, is that one of the things I really liked about the Biden administration, the one thing I think they did positively, was the CHIPS Act, CHIPS. And I think basically they approved $100 billion to go to chip companies to basically make chips in the United States. And I remember talking to you about this, and I said, if Kamala Harris was smart, she doubled down on that because people are worried about China and Taiwan. And if they put another 300 or 400 billion in the CHIPS Act, we maybe could become a chip maker again. Now, Arizona was the
Yes.
recipient of about 18. I could be wrong on this number, by the way, but down in not Flagstaff, but the other direction from Phoenix, they're building the big Taiwanese semiconductor plant. Not Flagstaff, but what is it?
No, you got
It's
Tucson,
anyway, it's about a
Tucson
hundred,
down there and
it's about 50
Tombstone.
miles from Phoenix. But the point is, the CHIPS Act gave Taiwan Semiconductor Company around $18 billion to build that plant. And if you go down to that city in Arizona, you'll see the plant under construction. They got the money. I don't know if it's actually operational yet. I think it's about to be operational, but the money was to go to build foundries down there. Now, here's the problem. I follow Intel Corporation. I lived in Silicon Valley. Intel was the premier semiconductor manufacturer in the world.
Yeah.
No one beat Intel. They gave
The
up the semiconductor
8086
chip
chip.
business to Japan, and now they're in trouble. And they're in trouble because they're getting beat by the Taiwanese chip makers. Now, in the CHIPS Act, which, by the way, was in around December of 2022, 2 years ago, they received $8 billion award, and again about another $20 billion of a low interest loan to build a foundry and chip making plant in Ohio, New Albany, Ohio, I think is the name of the city. Now, here we are 2 years later. I read a letter to the investors a couple days ago, written by the president of Intel Corporation, saying that after 2 years and starting building this plant, they haven't received $1 from the CHIPS Act. So he said, we have to shut down our place in Ohio. We laid off around 10,000 people. Now, in the same article, they quoted Sherrod Brown, I think, is one of the senators there, as complaining about it too, because they wanted to get the money for Ohio. I don't remember him quoting J.D. Vance, but they may have. But they also quoted the Commerce Department, and it said, we don't comment on current negotiations. And I'm saying, wait a minute. 2 years ago, they were awarded the money. It was announced. It was a big PR thing. They were happy. Ohio was happy. Everybody's happy. Here we are 2 years later. They haven't gotten a dollar. So now they're in big trouble. And my question to you is, regardless of who's president, who the hell is going to fly to Ohio or fly to the Commerce Department and tell them to get their butt in gear and give this money to Intel? Who's going to do that?
Yeah, it is shocking. I've had 5 terms, 10 years in elective office in a city of 80,000. And government, when they give out money, they do attach a lot of guidelines, regulations. But you're right. If I, especially if this Biden administration was doing something to hold it up, if I'm J.D. Vance, I'm blowing the trumpet, making a big deal. So there must be something to it. Sherrod Brown's up for
Well,
re-election.
and
He
let me ask,
should.
let me be specific. Who in the Kamala Harris team, whoever her team is, has the balls to get on a plane and go to Commerce Department and say, get your butt in gear? Who would she assign to that? Could she do it?
Well, she can do. She's the vice president of the United States and has connections. She could do that. Yeah, the
Well,
mayor
wait a
of
minute.
Albany,
She could do
Ohio.
that now, right?
The mayor of Albany should be making a big, huge stink to his two U.S. senators and his
Wait on, yeah,
congressperson.
it's they've done that. If you read all the background from the president of Intel, they've made that, but they can't get the Commerce Department to sit down and tell him why they're not being allocated. Now, I can tell you why they're not. Here's my opinion. If you were Taiwan Semiconductor Company and you just got $18 billion to build a foundry in Arizona, would you be in favor of Intel building another foundry to compete with you in Ohio? Hell no.
Ah, very good insight.
They're lobbying against it just like any other business would. And because Arizona's Democratic, maybe that's, I mean, I don't have any personal knowledge of what I just said, but
Yeah.
it's logical to me. Businesses are very concerned about competition. And by what the Taiwan Semiconductor Company has done, now Intel is saying that in 2022, they could have built a chip plant in 3 years, which means it'd be making chips in 2025. Now we're at 2024. Intel says now, under the current circumstances, it might take 5 years, which means they won't be making chips until 2030. Meanwhile,
Taiwan.
Taiwan Semiconductor Company in Arizona will be making chips for American companies and controlling the market.
And
And in
getting contracts.
2031, Intel will be filing bankruptcy or they'll be sold to Taiwan Semiconductor. So that's just a good, that's a business perspective. By the way, I ran that theory by another person in business. I didn't tell him what the bottom line was. I said, what do you think TSMC would be doing about the money for Intel? They said, well, they'll be trying to keep them from getting it.
Yeah.
So my
Well,
question is still the same, is that which person in the Kamala Harris team, I only know of one other person in her team, but who would she send down there? Who can go to Commerce and say, get your butt in gear, tell us what is going on. The money's been awarded. The PR, the press releases have already been out for 2 years, yet you haven't sent Intel a dollar. And because of that, we are now at risk at losing the premier chip company in the world, or at least it was at one time, and all their employees. They could file bankruptcy because of the problems they're having. Yeah,
Well,
I should say I have a financial interest in Intel, so I'm concerned about it. But I'm really concerned about the fact that we have a bureaucracy that gets the PR out of the 100 billion CHIPS Act, but doesn't send the money.
yeah, and historically, unfortunately, I can remember as a city councilman
Yeah.
when we would get any federal funds for whether it was law
Yeah.
enforcement or building a road or a sewer system, whatever it might be, they attached so many regulations and guidelines to it
Again,
that it made it difficult.
you said that already.
But to
My
this
question is,
point,
if Kamala is elected,
if she's
who
elected,
is gonna she gonna send down there and do something about it?
well, this is just my personal thought. And I think if to really stimulate the economy, talk about an economic development program or stimulus, make Mark Cuban the Secretary of Commerce, the Department of Commerce, because he is an entrepreneur and a Shark Tank guy. I think he's the guy that could come
So
up
he could
with
do it. So he could do it, right?
small business, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Well,
big business.
that's a good idea. You know what Mark Cuban made his money on, right?
It was some kind of a broadcasting
Broadcom,
Broadcom.
chip company. I don't know what kind of business he's in now, but I'm just saying, yeah, I'd say he could do it. I'd say Elon Musk could do it.
Yes.
But they need a guy like that. But I, if I were Kamala Harris, I'd be talking about those kinds of things to be done because that's a major thing that would turn around this whole chip issue. I mean, I don't care whether you talk about tariffs or taxes or all that kind of crap. All those things work for a while, don't work forever, but and they're very difficult to enforce. But not funding one of our premier companies to build chips in the United States
Chips.
when the money's been allocated, they ought to all be fired. You ought to go to the
Yeah.
Commerce Department and say, everybody raise your hand up that's been working on this, go find another job.
There must be something behind the curtains on this, because why isn't both parties? You've got a Democrat senator and a Republican senator. One of them should be taking advantage of raising the flag and making a
Should
big
raise the
stink.
flag,
So
but
there's
because the
something.
Commerce Department has no accountability to anybody. They
Well,
never award the money. Does anybody get fired? No.
yeah.
This is where I agree with Trump. Now, the problem is that you probably can't fire any of them because they're all civil service employees.
Yeah, that's
Anyway,
part of his plan, I think,
that's
is to
my
try to change
Intel
that.
message for the day. And hey, listeners, if you're listening, go research this Intel project that I just mentioned. Go
Yeah.
research the CHIPS Act because I always said when I saw the CHIPS Act, I thought, this is what we should be doing. And I've always said to Kamala Harris, she hasn't listened. I said, triple down on it. Instead of 100 billion, we should be spending 300 or 400 billion.
Yeah, and if
And
some of
we're
your
really doing
listeners,
something, right?
if some of your listeners have an idea or some insight, they could send you webtalkwithbob@gmail.com,
No,
webtalk with Bob.
send Dan Snell a ticket to fly to DC and go meet with the Commerce Department.
I'll do it. I'll do it. I can persuade
Because
him.
that's what's missing is somebody is going out in front and saying, what's holding it up?
Yeah.
And the media doesn't ask because maybe they don't care. But fundamentally, when in a couple of years, if we lose Intel, remember, we used to build televisions. We don't build them anymore. Right
Yeah.
down the line, we used to
Yeah, good
build
old.
lots of things. We don't build these things anymore. They're built somewhere else. People always talk about losing manufacturing. Trump talks about it. Kamala Harris talks about it. They all talk about bringing it back. Well, Christ, one way to bring it back is tell the Commerce Department is to give the money to Intel.
Yeah,
Anyway.
excellent point. Yeah, I can remember Zenith was in Springfield, built Zenith televisions in
Yeah,
Springfield, Missouri.
RCA, we built televisions. We're the
Yeah.
television manufacturer of the world. Where'd that go?
Yeah. Hey, one thing you and I have that we can smile about is we remember when color televisions were first new. We had the third, my little town in Nebraska, David City, Nebraska, we had the third color TV in the whole town.
Yeah.
And my dad said, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody, because he doesn't want people to think that we have money.
Okay, so we've talked about Intel. We've talked about the political situation, Kamala Harris, we pretty well agree that maybe Cuban or Musk has the courage to go to Commerce Department and settle this issue. Obviously, the president of Intel, who has charge of 100,000 employees, even though he just laid off 10 or 12,000, obviously they don't listen to him, right? Otherwise, he could fly down there. They have their own jets. So we've covered those issues. I've been watching the Trump stock, and it was up to $56 day before yesterday, and today it's down to 40.
Ah,
Maybe it'll go to zero eventually if
do you
they
think
if
if
he's
he
not
loses,
elected.
what
Pardon me?
happens?
Pardon me?
Do you think he sells Truth Social to Elon Musk? Is that part of the agreement you think
No,
they
no, no,
have?
no, no. If he's not elected, he'll continue with social media, and the company will go on. It'll take a big stock hit, but a lot of people, a lot of Trump supporters, will advertise on it. That's how it'll get revenues. So there's every reason to
Well, but
believe
look at
that.
their revenues. I mean,
Pardon me?
your revenues are only what,
Yeah,
$896,000?
that's peanuts. But any of these Trump supporters, when it's over, they'll want to support Trump, right? The way you
I
support
think if
Trump
he
is.
loses, the Trump political
No. Well,
world is going away. MAGA
there's a
going
lot of people
away.
that won't agree with you, Dan. There are a lot of people that believe Trump supporter yesterday, a Trump supporter tomorrow, and they will do advertisers, big companies that support Trump anyway, and they'll advertise on his media. So the company will not go away. People say the stock will drop. It will drop if he's not elected, but it won't go away because it's a social media company, and once it gets more money behind it, which there'll be money, there'll be people to support it. It will do well. It might take a couple of years for it to come back, but it won't go away. Now, what else do we have on our list? We had Intel. We had this
Oh, you were going to
Taiwanese.
talk about quantum computing. You were going to give them breaking news. I think important thing for your listeners, and we'll be talking about it starting, after next Tuesday. But what happens from November 5th to January 20th, 76 days? What's
What
going to
is
go
going to
on in the
happen?
country? The division? Are we going to have any form of violence or protests or
Well,
claims
sure we
that
will.
the election
We
was
have
rigged?
violence now. Go to Minnesota. Go
There's
to
already
Portland.
things
Go to
happening.
Seattle.
Another reason I think that Trump or
Well, wait a
that
minute,
Harris is
Dan.
going to
Do
win
you
is that
not
Trump.
agree we have violence now?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. And we'll have violence after the election. And we
Specific to
have and we have
elections.
California where you go in and steal $800 and nothing happens to you.
Well, that's a different kind of law enforcement issue. This is
Well, it's
talking
the
about
same. What I'm
people.
saying is the same issue. They burned down a whole city in Minneapolis. They burned down a police department station. There was not a single person put away for that. And you go to Seattle and Portland, the same thing. So there's going to be violence because why? Because 1% of their people are freaking crazy anyway. I
Yeah.
don't care whether they're for Kamala Harris or Trump. You have what I call the outliers. It's 1% on the liberal side, 1% on the Trump side, and they'll do crazy things. And by the way, not just today, it's always been like that. Listen to the address of Lincoln when he tried to bring the country together, right? Listen to the address of who I was listening to Pastor Adam the other day, and he talked about the different addresses for the presidents for the last 150 years and
Oh, interesting.
how they really could be put forward today and you'd have the same message.
That's Adam Hamilton
Yeah,
at
Adam Hamilton, right?
yeah,
And he
yeah.
made a good point. He said, look, there's always been divisiveness. One party has always hated the other party. They've always called each other. It's like Truman said, the only thing new is the history you haven't read.
Yeah.
These things have happened before. After all, that's how we got here. We chased the British out. They
Yeah.
thought they were in control. So I don't, when I see the violence, I don't really am saying, okay, we have violent people. We have crazy people. Crazy
It
people
just
that'll take a gun and shoot you.
came to me when you said Truman, because where's Truman from? Right here, Kansas City. You and
Well,
I are
he's
going to have
not
to
from
do
Kansas
a
City.
future,
Independence.
and his presidential libraries here. You and I are going to have to do a future podcast from the Truman
Yeah.
Presidential Library.
Well, I've been there. I'm one of the few people. I have a what do you call a research authentication there. I can go back into the archives with gloves on, white gloves on, and actually look at, for example, the document where he drafted the press release before they dropped the bomb. And they left blanks in the press release, how many people were killed and things like that, because they didn't know that. Nobody knew that, right? He drafted, and then when he actually signed at the bottom, "Go ahead," I actually could see that signature. It's
Cool.
encased in a plastic, envelope, of course, and you have to put gloves on, and you have to be authorized. They have to do background checks, and I did it because that one book I wrote, I had to file all those papers. So I went back and looked at all those archived information of Truman. It's quite incredible. I mean, here's a little guy who basically wasn't a lawyer, right?
Yeah, he sold hats, right? He had a hat shop.
He was a he sold suits. He was a ta not a tailor, but he
Haberdashery or
yeah
haberdashery, is that the
yeah
word?
that's what he did, right? But yeah, he's also one of the last guys that said nobody should ever make money out of being president. So after he was president, he refused to take any speaking engagements. He refused to get paid for a book. Other people did, but he refused. He did not. Re he refused to do that. Democrats always hated him for it. Listen, we got a few more minutes here. And I think I was going to mention a little bit about quantum computing, but I need to kind of set it up for a second. We're in this big period of AI.
Yeah.
AI. Now, when OpenAI and these companies establish what they call their natural language libraries, right? They have to read material into the computer's memory. Now, OpenAI, just on books alone, read in 198,000 books. Now, it takes a long time to read all that material in. Now, people don't read it. I guess they scan it in, right?
Yeah.
So to make these OpenAIs work, you have to basically put the websites, public information, books, articles, documents into a library that when you and I go ask OpenAI a question, it searches to give us a reply. Now, these take lots of time and billions of dollars in terms of processors, even with today's processors. So I'll give you this kind of analysis, and this is a layman's interpretation, but if, for example, today OpenAI developed a natural language library, it might take them 18 months to read all the material in. As I understand it, a quantum computer could develop the whole library in about an hour and a half,
Wow.
which means
Wow.
in quantum computing, we could take everything everybody has known forever in any language, right, around the world and access it. So we could ask OpenAI a question and say, please reply to this in English, or how would this question be answered in Chinese, or how would it be answered in French using the French documents? You see my point?
Yes.
So we might ask a capitalist in question in England and in the United States, and capitalism would come out fine, but Chinese documents might be critical of that. Think about it. It's not, I'm not talking about language translation. I'm talking about the documents that that are the foundation of each country's beliefs, right?
Yeah.
It's like the star is born. We're basically learn what we read and what we hear. That's pretty much what we know. I wonder if we ever have any creative thoughts on our own,
That would
because
be
I'm
seeing
just
what
a
you just
product of
said.
what I read and hear.
That would be an interesting study is ask AI to take the Constitution of the United
Yeah.
States, the Constitution of China, or whatever their
No, it can't
principles.
do that. And that's what I'm saying. Under the new world, under a quantum computer, it could.
Yeah. But then say, and then say, what do we have in common, in humankind?
Yeah.
What does Russia and the United States, China, Australia, whatever
Yeah.
country,
They
what do we
could
have in
probably do that. I
common?
could say compare, because remember, when we go to OpenAI, it's assembled all, let's call it the English-speaking documents
Yes.
that are available, not the Chinese-speaking documents, not their articles, not their research, not their background. You see what I'm saying? Now, let me just end this kind of with one idea, and we can close it up a bit. But here's what I've been reading about AI. Here's the differences. Classical computers, the computer you have in front of you, the one I'm working on now, are measured in terms of what they call cycles per second. And they measured in gigahertz. To give you an example, the computer that I have in front of me probably runs at about 3.5 gigahertz, which is 3.5 billion cycles per second. Now, a chip is basically gates. It's little doorways that we can send information through, or ones and zeros, right?
Yes.
And 3.5 billion cycles per second means that we're opening and closing 3.5 billion gates every second. That's 3.5 gigahertz.
So it waits to share the information till one side goes, and then it closes the gate, opens the gate.
And it's a, believe me, it's a fraction. It's a billionth of a second. It can't send anything more through until it closes the gate.
And we would think 3.5 billion per second, gosh, that's pretty fast.
It is pretty fast.
But now you're going to tell us the rest of the story.
I'm going to tell you something else, is that a quantum computer might have a slower gate speed, but faster in terms of getting a result. And the difference is that in a quantum computer, you don't have gates. Every door is open all the time.
No gates.
No gates. And so people are arguing now, and they kind of like the literature, about how to measure the speed of a quantum computer. And the argument is that, well, you can't compare quantum computer speed with a classical computer speed, because classical computer operates on gates, ones and zeros flowing through these doors. In a quantum computer, all the doors are open all the time, and information flows right and left.
So in the classic one, information is either a one or a zero. Those, that will kind of go away, or will we still have
yeah,
zero,
it goes away, because in quantum computing, a one and a zero can exist simultaneously at the same time inside a transaction.
And understand each other.
I guess. I mean, it blows my mind, right?
Yeah, see, this is
I have
awesome
a hard time even envisioning it, but I'm going to do a lot more on this, because I'm researching it for one of my books, and also because I really do believe that IBM, who's been under wraps for years, they were the premier computer company in 1985, maybe, you know, that period of time. And now they're kind of like, who are they? And a lot of people don't even know who they are anymore. But I think they're going to make a huge comeback, because they're the ones that are investing in quantum computers. They're putting one up in New York. I think they have one going into Estonia or in Russia. And that's the only two that I know about. But I'm going to keep researching, because if what they're saying about quantum is correct, and I have a link to a person who's working on a PhD thesis on error calculations in quantum computing. We'll probably get a little bit off the subject, but for example, if you send a telephone signal, me to you, the signal goes out 90 times and the errors check. So there's so many errors, and they have a checking at the other end. It happens in a, you know, billionth of a second, gets rid of all the stuff that's an error, and then communicates the right information to you, the right. So error checking is big in current classical computing. Now, that's about all I'm going to say about quantum computing. And as usual,
that's still want to stay tuned, though, because you're going to bring it.
Dan, I'm going to give you the last 1 minute to make a closing statement to all of our listeners. We talked a lot of stuff today about computing, about Intel, about the politics. What do you have to tell us, Dan, for the last minute?
Well, I just want to tip short all the listeners, viewers, is that what we're doing today, stay tuned, because you're going to see a lot more. We're going to take current topics, future topics, things like quantum computing, and talk a little bit about the history. And Bob and I have been doing this together too. You know, next month, November of 2024, we started that radio program, Web Talk with Bob, 2009, 15 years ago. And we were talking about the infancy of iPhones. And now we're releasing what? Artificial intelligence on the iPhone 16. And I remember saying that I didn't think the iPhone was going to make it, Bob. You and I argued then. I said, BlackBerry.
Well,
BlackBerry all the way. It's all about the
show,
BlackBerry.
On that show, we interviewed a professor from NYU, or no, from Brooklyn Polytech, who actually believed in the iPhone and was the first person to offer a course in how to use the iPhone. We
Yes.
interviewed that guy on the phone. He believed the iPhone was there and people would have to learn how to use it. So he offered the first course, and I believe it was Brooklyn Polytech. So anyway, that's all we got today, folks. Huh, Dan, you want to sign off?
Yeah, listen, keep coming back, watching this. We'll have a lot of fun together, learn a lot, and stay winsome, my friends.
Goodbye.